Our gospel today is from John chapter 1. It's a great gospel for this first Sunday of Christmas. But I also want to note that as we move ahead here into the new year and into 2018, that we're going to continue to be working with John's gospel, kind of letting it unfold before us. So I hope today kind of gives us a centering around that, that this gospel of John is written, as John himself says, that we might believe in Jesus and through him have life, a spiritual life, a life in relationship with God. Well, as you might know, John's gospel really is kind of unique compared to the other three gospels, which are very similar in their language and in their form and such. But John uses a different words, different way of storytelling, a different way of Jesus preaching to try to bring people around. And I think all four of the gospels are trying to do something really important, and that is bridge the gap between a Jewish Jesus, part of an Eastern cultural influence, and bring that into a Western world and help it connect, and so that people believe, to make those commonalities, so that people have something to grasp onto, to understand and come to believe in Jesus Christ. You see that effort John is putting in the very first words. He says, "In the beginning was the Word." Of course, in the beginning, John is playing on the very first words of our Bible, those first words in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, he says, though, was the Word. The Greek word for word is logos. So word means, or in the Greek, is logos. So in the beginning was the logos. And the word logos was a important philosophical concept in Greek. To the Greeks, logos had really two major characteristics. One, it was creative. A word that goes out into the world, a message that goes out in the world creates it. Words do things. They change things. And so it's this creative function. And you see John affirming that among them. He's making this affirmation to them, saying, you know, through him, through this logos, all things came into being. So he affirms that. And the second piece that comes with this Greek concept of logos is a revealing part. Of course, when something comes from the spiritual realm into our world, it is a revealing thing. It shows things to people. It reveals divine will to people, things like that. And of course, for the Greeks, the Logos was associated often with the Greek god Hermes. He was the messenger god. The Roman parallel to that would be the Roman god Mercury. And they're both portrayed with little wings on their feet. They're the messenger gods. And so they bring the message, which may be creative, which may be revealing, from the gods from the other side into this world. Well, of course, we can hear what John is trying to get at here, though. In the beginning was the Word, this logos, but the Word was with God. In fact, the Word was God. Big G, capital, the only God. The one who's behind all things. You know, you've heard these Greeks have heard about logos. They've maybe experienced something of logos, but it's not with Hermes. It's not some generic force out there in the world. It is God. God. You know, we are really a part of the Greek-Roman world, what we call Western civilization. That is our heritage. And I think some of these concepts continue to come up among us. And I find the most fascinating place that this has come up, of course, this sense of logos in our time, is really through the Star Wars movie series. I'm going to date myself and go back to that first Star Wars movie that I waited in line for. Okay, I've really dated myself to see. And in it, the most famous scene is the Death Star, this huge planetoid-sized spaceship is pulling up to the rebel world where the good guys are holding out against all the evil, the darkness of the world. And of course, all their fighter jets go flying up against this Death Star and against all their fighter jets. And there's a big dog fights in the air and in the space between these jets. And Luke knows there's this one shot. They all know there's just one shot you got to make down this vent that will somehow get to the middle of this Death Star and blow the thing up. It's its vulnerability. And so Luke is flying, Luke Skywalker's flying and dogfighting, and he's finally in this long channel along the surface of this Death Star, getting ready to make the shot. And the voice comes, "Use the Force,
Luke.
And he flips up his little tech guidance system and just steers and aims his aircraft, his jet fighter himself, and goes in and makes a shot. Use the Force. The Force. What is it? It's a voice from beyond, from the other side. It's this Logos thing guiding him to make this shot. And things changed for Luke in that very moment. He was one that wasn't sure about the Force or what it was, but now he has been addressed. A word has come to him. It's changed him. And I think you see that kind of sense that when you're addressed by a word from the other side, when a word comes from God, that John is picking up on that as well. He says, in him, in through this word comes life. Not biological life, like having a heartbeat or brain waves, but a life with God, a life lived in relationship with God. You know God is there when you're addressed. When God speaks a word to you, cuts into your life, it's changed. And through that life, John goes on and says, there is light. You see things different. It reveals things. You know not just how to make the shot, but maybe what you need to do with your life, how you need to lead your life, what's important in the world, and in all kinds of ways it can reveal things in the darkness that is the world. Well, to have this Logos and to have this voice comes, I mean, who wouldn't be interested? Who wouldn't want to know more about how the God, the only God, would address us and come into us? How is this going to work out? Well, John, in his gospel here, first thing he says, well, it's not John the Baptist. You know, great guy, but it's not him. Because he had a popular following back in the day. It's not him. It's not John the Baptist. He testified to the light, but it's not him. It takes a while, a few more verses, before John's gospel gets to it. In fact, it's all the way into verse 17 before he kind of does what I call the big reveal. He said, the law came through Moses. You know, God spoke through Moses. He gave a word. He addressed the world through Moses, and it was law. Law that demanded us to follow or consequences. Well, that's kind of a rough go because we keep running into consequences. We keep falling short, as Paul writes, of keeping that law. And he goes on to say, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. There's the reveal. Jesus Christ. You want to know what God speaks into the world? You want to know who through whom God speaks in the world? Who is God in the world, if you will? It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father's only Son, as he claims him to be. That is where the revelation comes from. You receive this person, you know this person, you listen to this person, and you've got it. You've got the word among you. Well, I skipped, a line that I find is such at the heart of maybe what we need here at the very end of 2017, getting ready to get into 2018. And that is this line here. In him we have, it says he's light, and the light will shine in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. It was dark in John's day when this gospel was being finally written. It might have been even 50 years after Jesus' time. In the early church, they were really part of a Jewish messianic movement, the early Christians. You know, they were seen as Jews who saw the Messiah had come. But as the decades passed, they began to separate out from the Jewish people, and their arguments and fights and really some hard feelings. It was an ugly divorce. And you can pick some of that up in John's gospel. The fact that this ugly divorce was still raw, the way John treats Jews, is not good. But with time, what happened is the Roman Empire also saw them as separate. And the Jewish people under the Roman Empire had an exemption to emperor worship. They didn't have to worship the emperor. They had this exemption to emperor worship. If you're a separate religion now, you don't have that exemption anymore, and Christians weren't going to worship the empire, and so emperor, so they were going to now get persecuted, and that was going on. So you had an ugly divorce, and now you have persecution from the great Roman Empire, and it was a darkness for these Christians, a real deep darkness. Well, I think we all in 2017 knew there's plenty of darkness. There's a lot of contentiousness as a country. Our politics just seemed like everything was being used to rub us, to get our differences, to raise up our differences and make us irritated about things and reactive and those kinds of things, just as a country. You just feel it in the air at times. And there's a darkness internationally. I mean, we have like 7 wars going on when you think of Yemen and Afghanistan and Syria and so on and so forth. I mean, there's just all these brewing wars, northern Nigeria, you know, on it goes. You have people with great drought in Ethiopia. You know, people die constantly of hunger. I think it's like every 2 seconds someone dies of hunger. 2 seconds. We have an increasing secularizing country. We have all kinds of ideas that bring a darkness to us. It's always there. I know for some of us, it feels like maybe it's a little more on the horizon. It's like the dark clouds on the horizon isn't quite around us yet, but it's there. And for others of us, it's like it's pretty close. Often when darkness gets personal and health issues, family issues, it feels like it's right on us. Job issues, financial issues. At some points, it can just simply soak in, and the depression comes with it almost. It's right inside our souls. It feels so heavy, but it's always there. The interesting thing, what John is saying here about that darkness, is that we have a light that shines into it. Now, I think we as humans often have this wish idea. We wish, expect, and hope that somehow, since God sent his son, that God is active and there is a God in this world, that somehow the darkness should be gone. We shouldn't suffer from it. That the darkness should be destroyed. It should be all light. It shouldn't be so much darkness. That's an expectation that's just somehow buried in us. I think it's often almost subconscious. That, you know, because we have God, everything should go our way. It should be one victory to another, to another, to another, that sort of thing. It's not that way, though. And it's not what this gospel is saying. He doesn't say the darkness goes away. He says what we have is a light that shines in the darkness. A light that aids us in a place that's full of darkness. You know, the stuff of 2017, you know, we draw a line at the night, 12 midnight tonight. It follows us right into 2018. There isn't a huge change. We could make some small changes in our life, help ourselves, that sort of thing. But all the stuff from 2017, it's here in 2018, going to be here. So it's not going away. But what also is not going away is this light, this logos that speaks into the world, that addresses us, that shines light on our past so that we might see our next choice. I know sometimes the darkness is so dark, we're just glad for a little light to put our next footstep down. Get that. But there's a light. It shines in the darkness. And the hope we have is the darkness will never overcome it. It did not overcome it in Jesus Christ, who brought us grace, the forgiveness of sins, who speaks to us, to guide us, to call us into meaningful work and service in this world. And Jesus Christ, who even at his death said, my God, why have you forsaken me? In that darkness there, and it did not overcome him. He was raised to life. In Jesus, we have life. And it is a light of forgiveness, guidance, in the Spirit, a word that breaks in. And finally, a light at the end of the tunnel to a life with God. So with this, we walk into 2018. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Amen.